This is part B of the covenant of deceit and death, or the covenant of lies and death. Number two, we're here in Jeremiah 7, so let's pick it up in verse 2. Now, what I would like you to think about as I read this, so we understand that the United States and the Anglo-Saxon people of the world today are in exactly the same spiritual condition that we're going to read of here in Jeremiah 7. So picture this. Someone having to stand in Washington, D.C. in America, London in England, I think it's Montreal, Canada, if not, forgive me, and Melbourne, Australia, South Africa, and whatever the equivalent is there in New Zealand. And here's the message that has to be given. And understand this, that for the average person who is living in these conditions and not desiring to repent, how would they picture this person? How do you think CNN would picture this? Well, there's some nut out there yelling and screaming for the people to repent. Wonder why he's doing it. He says he's sent from God. So, just keep this in mind. So you stand in the gate of the Lord's house, verse 2, and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah, who enter in at these gates to worship. I just picture standing in front of the White House for an hour, standing in front of Congress for 2 or 3 hours, and all of these nice, wonderful senators and congressmen coming in. And then picture him standing in front of the National Cathedral and saying these words. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings. So they get warning before God sends them off into captivity. And he did send them off into captivity. Now remember this, God always honors repentance, always. So there needs to be repentance. And he promises, I will cause you to dwell in this place. Because up in verse 6 he said, the enemy is coming, going to carry you off. Not verse 6, but in chapter 6 rather. Now notice how he enunciates their problem. Do not trust in lying words saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Or we could say, well, we're Britons, we're Americans, we're Canadians, we're South Africans, we're Australians and New Zealanders. We're God's people. Why do we have to change? Verse 5. For if you will thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, that means individual conduct, that means economic conduct, that means governmental conduct, and that means, if I could phrase it this way, religious conduct. Because as I have brought out, the three most important things in how you understand about God is, number one, the Sabbath, so you know who God is. Number two, the Passover, so you can be in covenant for eternal life with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And number three, the Holy Days, which tells you what God is doing. But those have all been rejected by the so-called Christian nations of the world. And they have accepted the pagan substitute, Sunday, instead of Sabbath, which then is Baal worship, because Baal was the sun god. Lord's Supper, communion, or Eucharist, regardless, whichever one you want to name it, takes them away from God. And then the occult holidays of this world cuts them off from God, and they don't know what God is doing or what his plan is. And yet they say, oh, let's bring Christ back into Christmas. Never was there. And all of the other pagan holidays. So if you don't have the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which, be sure and order it. We'll send it to you at no cost. So those are lying words. Verse 5. Now, after you hear the message, if you will thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, quit lying, cheating, stealing, quit bowing down to idols, and all those things we'll see here in just a minute. Okay. If you will thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, where God put his presence and blessed it, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. We don't have to follow what God says. And today it's even more so. Because now we have the New Testament and we have the Old Testament. But what do most people say? Oh, we don't have to follow anything in the Old Testament. That's already been fulfilled. And they follow in the same sins as the children of Israel did back then. Now notice, what is more obnoxious to God? Verse 10. And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, saying we are delivered to do all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it. And what did Jesus do when he came into the temple? Hey, he made a scourge of cords and chased out all the money changers and said, do not make this house a house of merchandise. It's to be called a house of prayer for all nations. Now, God wants you to learn a lesson. You don't have to go to Shiloh, but you can go to any past civilization and see the destruction of those civilizations which collapsed at their very heights. Be it Greece, be it Egypt, be it Rome, be it the Southeast Asia. Because God judges all the nations equally. But now go to my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. You can examine any country, any nation, because God judges all of them. Verse 13. And now because you have done all these things, says the Lord, and I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, that is through the prophets, but you did not hear. And I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore I will do to this house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brethren, the whole seed of Ephraim. Now, while there is a chance to repent, God expects us to repent. As a nation and a people, minimum to the letter of the law. To his church and to his people, to repent and really establish your relationship with God, because in this time we're living in the Laodicean era. Without a doubt. Now notice there comes a time of no return, because it says, call upon God while he is near. Now notice what it says here. You never, ever, ever want to reach this point. But I think rapidly the modern descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel are reaching this point. Therefore, do not pray for this people, nor lift up cry, nor pray, nor prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. And then you read the rest of it. And what is it that they do? Well, they're keeping Easter. They're making cakes to the Queen of Heaven. And the whole family is involved in it, right? And God says that's an abomination. Now, let's go on. Let's come over here to chapter 8. Chapter 8. Now, because of that, and because they like to adorn the tombs of the kings and the prophets and the priests and all of that, because they have a covenant with death, verse 1, at that time, says the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah and the bones of its rulers and the bones of the priests and the bones of the prophets and the bones of the people of Jerusalem out of their graves. That is, when the enemy comes and invades, it's going to desecrate all of that. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, whom you have loved and whom you have served and after whom you have walked and whom you have sought and whom you have worshipped. And they shall not be gathered nor burned. They shall be as dung on the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the rest of those who remain of this evil family, who remain in all the places where I have driven them, says the Lord of hosts. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, shall they fall and not rise? Shall one turn away and not repent? You can't have just good intentions. You have to have actions. And action in this case is repentance. Why has this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a never-ending backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to repent. And that's where we are. Next time you watch a basketball game or football game, think about it. What if all of a sudden, right during halftime, the music stopped, everything was shut down, and a man stood out there in the middle of the field or the middle of the basketball court and said, every one of you up here, I want you to get on your knees and repent to God. Well, you'd probably get soda cans and cups and bottles and everything thrown at you because you're interrupting their fun. They refuse to repent. I listened and heard, but they did not speak right. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Or, we could put it today, who are you to judge me? Who are you to tell me what to do? Everyone turned to his own courses as the horse rushes into battle. That's quite descriptive, isn't it? Not only stubborn, but galloping headlong to destruction. Verse 7, yea, the stork in heaven knows her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow watch the time of their migration, but my people do not know the judgment of God. They don't understand it. Why would God do this? How do you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly the lying pen of the scribes has written falsely. And the wise men are ashamed, they are terrified and are captured. Lo, they have turned away the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? They turned away from it, left it far behind. You don't find it in education today. So here's what God is going to do. Verse 10, therefore I will give their wives to others, and their fields to those who shall inherit them. For everyone from the least even to the greatest is given over to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. And because of that, you know that judgment is coming. And it's not going to be, like it says in Ezekiel 13, that you're going to daub with untempered mortar or whitewash it. Now, you can make the ugliest thing look pretty good if you have some whitewash to put on it. But does that really change it? No, indeed. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now, I want you to think about all the illegal activities that are going on. Drugs, adultery, fornication, abortion, lying, cheating, stealing, all of the things that were done with the economic collapse that we have had of lying and cheating and taking people's money. Verse 12, were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? What did you see with Bernie Madoff? He just ignored everybody, right? When you saw after he was arrested? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall in the time of their visitation. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. I will utterly consume them, says the Lord. Therefore, or there shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. That's what God says. Let's come over here to chapter 9. Just turn the page. Now here's how, what Jeremiah saw. Here's how he felt when he saw all of this. Because you see, he understood the righteousness of God. He understood the mercy and patience of God. And he tried to tell them. He tried to warn them. And what did they want to do? Kill him. They attempted it many times. The closest they came to it was when they threw him in the sewer. And he was in muck. Up to how far? And he was there, oh God, is this the end? No, he was saved. But here's how he felt when he looked and saw all of it. Verse 1, chapter 9. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Just apply that to this. Look at all of the murders and sins and accidents and shedding of blood that takes place. And look at all the lying and cheating and stealing takes place. If you could be at one point in a moment of time and see it all. And look at all of the abortions that take place. And all of that killing that goes on. And now we have a president who believes in infanticide. And that's going to be a judgment against the nation. So you'd weep too, just like that. Verse 2. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for traveling men, that I might leave my people and go away from them. Get me some relief. For they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They bend their tongues like their bows for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they go from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord. Just multiplied one on top of the other. over and over and over. Gets so bad, it says, everyone beware of his neighbor and do not trust any brother. Isn't that something? Every brother will supplant his neighbor and will walk with slanders. Everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and they weary themselves to commit iniquity. I have yet to see that special report to lie. I don't know if it's a movie or a special report. But the sum of it is this. The one who did the video and the report said that in interviewing people, just the average person, wherever you are, he found that they told 3 lies in 10 minutes. Cannot tell the truth. Weary themselves to tell lies. They bend their tongues like their bows for lies. They are not valiant for the truth. They go from evil to evil. And they do not know me, says the Lord. Amazing, isn't it? Verse 6, what happens then? Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. And through deceit, they refuse to know me, says the Lord, because they have a compact or a covenant with death. So here's what God says he will do, verse 11. And he did it. You look back in history and see it. When you see all of these archaeological excavations over in the so-called Holy Land, around Jerusalem and in those areas, it verifies what God has done here. Verse 11, I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a den of jackals, and I will make the cities of Judah desolation without a living soul. Who is the wise man who may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? Why does the land perish and burn up like a wilderness, so that none passes through? And the Lord says, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, and have not walked in it, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Now, we're reading some pretty heavy words here. Pretty tough things that are going to happen. And I know someone is going to say, oh, that's gloom and doom, I don't want to hear it. Just like the people said there. Jeremiah must be nuts. Well, do you want to go along blindly, and then when it does come, you say, what happened? How did that happen? Why did it happen? Or is this not something to give you strength to be forewarned as forearmed? A lot of people wondering, well, what's happening? And they don't understand it's God's correction. But there was a report that came out which was quite interesting. It said, when things get tough, people seek God. Now, do they seek God to get a little relief so they can continue in what they were doing? Or do they seek God to amend their ways, to repent? What is it? How much, ask yourself this question, how much catastrophe has to happen in your life and around you so that God will get your attention and you will repent? That's the question everybody needs to ask themselves. All right, let's come over here to Jeremiah 14. Pick it up in verse 10. Verse 10, Jeremiah 14. Thus says the Lord to this people, even so they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for this people for good. Second time he said, don't pray for them. So there comes a point that God has to execute his judgment, and he told Jeremiah, don't pray for them. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offerings and a grain offering, I will not accept them. But I will consume them with the sword, by the famine, and by the plague. Those are harsh words. Verse 13, then I said, ah, O Lord, my God, behold, the prophets are saying to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you true peace in this place. Now, they don't want to face the truth. They don't want to rock the boat. So God is going to shake the land. Verse 14, and the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I did not send them, nor have I commanded them, nor did I speak to them. They prophesy to you a false vision and a worthless divination, a thing of no value, the deceit of their heart. So as I mentioned earlier, turn on your religious channel on Sunday and just look at some of these religious programs. See how many are really warning the people. I'm sure you may find one or two that are. But what do most of them give? Nice platitudes and nice stories. And humanism to overcome your human faults. Rather than repentance to God from the heart and lets everybody now meet on the Sabbath instead of Sunday. Therefore, the Lord says this concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, and I did not send them, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine those prophets shall be consumed. And remember, we can have famine very quickly here. We all are dependent on the grocery store, are we not? How much? Even if you had a lot of supplies, how long would you last? Remember, famine starts setting in after about 3 or 4 days. And about the third and fourth day, people get desperate and will look and seek and find out where they can get it and take it and rob it and steal and kill to have it. Verse 16. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. And they shall have none to bury them, neither them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, and I will pour their own wickedness upon them. There it is. Now, what I want you to do is read the whole book of Jeremiah. I've said that several times before. But if you read it, it will put you in awe of God and maybe help you also to repent. Let's come here to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 25. Verse 25. God says, I've heard what the prophets said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. Or the Lord spoke to me. Well, verse 26, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies, and who are prophets of the deceit of their own heart? They scheme to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they teach, each one to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream, and the one who has my word, let him speak it faithfully. Quite a challenge, isn't it? That's what has to be done. Speak the word of God faithfully. That's direct to all teachers. And if you think you're a prophet, you better put the shoe on and wear it, instead of having your own vain false interpretations and things. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets who steal my words, each one from his neighbor. Oh yes, they use parts of the Bibles here, parts of the Bible there, and they steal God's word, so they sound like they're from God. But if they do not keep the Sabbath and the Passover and the holy days, God did not send them. Verse 32, behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams and tell them and cause my people to go astray by their lies and their wantonness. Yet I did not send them nor command them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all. Quite an indictment, isn't it? All right, now let's come back to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Let's pick it up again here in verse 14 where we started in the first message. Therefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and we have made an agreement with the grave, with the overwhelming rod. And not with, but when the overwhelming rod shall pass through, it shall not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and we have hidden ourselves under falsehood. Verse 16. That's going to change. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I place in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He who believes shall not be ashamed. And I will make justice the line, and righteousness the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding places. And your covenant with death shall be annulled. And that's going to take place mainly in the second resurrection, beginning at the return of Christ and then all the way down through the millennium. But for those who have died, that's when God will do it. And your covenant with death shall be annulled, and your agreement with the grave shall not stand. When the overwhelming scourge shall pass through, then you shall be beaten down. So as it often as it passed through, it shall take you. For morning by morning it shall pass over, and day by day, and it shall only be sheer terror to understand the message. So God shows that out of this, it's all going to come to an end. And living in the end of the age, and we always thought, oh good, we're going to live and see the return of Jesus Christ. And we never really understood the profound, terrible events that are going to take place. Though we read it in the Bible many times, right? Yes. So they will have an opportunity to repent. And God will heal them. As he said there in Jeremiah 31, he says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah after those days. Now what about those who do not repent? Let's come back here to Revelation 21. Let's see what their fate will be. Now, there will be some who won't repent. So let's read it. Jeremiah 21. This is when the new heaven and earth is going to be. Okay? God's going to wipe away all tears. God is going to make all things new, verse 5. And then he gives this promise, verse 6. So this is what we need to be doing now. while there is time, and there is a space of repentance and opportunity to do it, we need to do so. Because he says, verse 6, and he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the one who thirsts, I will give freely of the fountain of the water of life. So we have to hunger and thirst after God's way, hunger and thirst after his word. Verse 7, the one who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now for those who don't repent, verse 8, but the cowardly and unbelieving and abominables and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And the second death is eternal death. No resurrection from that death. So we have set before us, what are we going to choose? The covenant of life through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life? Or the covenant of death through lies and deceit, as spawned by Satan the devil? Choices before us. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.